are so many big questions in life. You know the ones, those things that weigh on us. We just can't quite figure it out. And they can be the type of things that become a wedge between us and God. So where do you find the answers? Well, you're in the right place, because today on Enjoying Everyday Life, we're sharing a discussion from Joyce's Talk It Out podcast, where Joyce, Aaron Cluley, Jay, and I, and our special guest, Lisa Harper, tackle life's hard questions. It's difficult stuff, so let's jump in together with both feet.
Well, I think the Word of God really has the answer to every question in life. Mm. It's just a matter of knowing where to find them, and sometimes knowing how to put things together.
Yeah.
You know, you can't always get an answer just pulling one scripture
right,
out.
Actually,
you can get the Bible to say almost anything if you do
sure
that.
You sure can.
So you have to interpret the Word of God in light of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that the more experience you have with God, mm-hmm. the more you learn to understand things. I like to say we live life forward, but we understand it backward. There's so many things when I'm going through them that I don't understand. They don't make sense. And I was reading a book this morning. The teaching was about how important it is to keep believing.
Mm-hmm.
That we go through so many things in life that we don't understand, that seem unfair, that don't seem to make any sense. And he actually said something that I thought was pretty strong. He said, actually, unbelief is the worst sin. That God, above all else, wants us to believe him.
Yeah.
And so many people, they believe until they have to apply it. And then they don't believe anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to try to answer hard-to-answer questions. But to be honest, God loves a good mystery.
Mm. He sure
and
does.
And if you don't like mystery,
yeah.
if you don't like mystery, you're not going to like hanging out with God. Because there's just a lot of things that we go through in life that we don't understand and won't understand until we get to heaven where we're going to know everything he knows.
Right.
And so we're going to do our best here.
Yeah. I love that you emphasized that, Ms. Joyce. I was reading Packer, J.I. Packer, recently, and he said that one of the griefs of modern society is we've ceased to be awed by God.
We've made
him a co-pilot. He's not our co-pilot. He's creator, redeemer. But he said if you don't have a sense of wonder, then
Amen.
You need to be revived. There should be a little bit of shock and awe.
Yeah.
I don't want a perfectly knowable God. I want a close God. But if my dinky mind can fully comprehend God, that's a small God. I want a God that's bigger than me.
Well, if we understood everything, we wouldn't even need God.
That's right. That's exactly
right. We need him for the times when nothing makes any sense and nothing seems to fit together. But that's where your faith is tested.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that we think we believe and we think we've got so much faith. We think we're so strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any of us really truly know even ourselves until we're tested.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So a lot of the tests that we go through are to help you meet yourself and see where your weaknesses are so you can then work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
To get strengthened in those areas.
Well, some of the biggest questions I've had, especially these past couple years, those have been the things that I've struggled with the most is maintaining my belief that I've known my entire life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also the other thing you said, like the answers are in the Word.
Right.
But sometimes to me, and this could be my immaturity, you know, I got that. But I almost felt like that was almost too simple of an answer for the gravity of the pressure I was feeling from the pressure, you know, from the deep, deep questions that I had. Like, it's like, I almost felt like, which has almost not delayed my healing process, but it's definitely made it, a little turbulent.
Right.
But because I just like, it's got to be something more than just this. This field we were talking about earlier with all the Bible stories, Job, and like, it's like, I don't want to go to that right now. Like, it seems too simple and too easy. So I can understand how people still have questions, especially now, like going through such a hard few years,
Globally and nationally and personally.
Right.
Jay, though, what you said, I think is so profound when you said sometimes it seems too simple. I think if I'm hearing you right, because I've been blinded by your cool pants, camo pants. But sometimes people try to make it simple. It's like, oh, Romans 8:28.
Yes.
And they'll take one verse. Well, Romans 8:28 is fabulous that God will work together all things for our good if you know him and his glory. But they miss the beginning of Romans 8, which is we will groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. If you don't get that, what Joyce said earlier, you have to, scripture has to answer scripture. If somebody just cuts and pastes one verse, or they give you, throw up one meme on social media, they can take that out of context, and it does seem trite.
Exactly.
Or it's like, it y'all just cross-stitched that and hung it on your wall, but I'm actually dealing with something serious here. You go to all of divine narrative. Yeah. All of it is these stories of people who are finding God in the midst of really tough stuff. It's not just one simple, okay, here you go, now we're done.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's where sometimes we go, that seems too simple. You're not really saying God's word is simple.
No.
You're saying when somebody has tried to cut and paste a verse and say, don't struggle anymore, then it seems trite.
It's the spiritual bypassing that a lot of Christians have done to try to Band-Aid and cause people to move so quickly past whatever they're dealing with.
Right.
You know, I'm definitely not wanting to stay where I am, but I do want to heal the proper way and get the answers that I need. So that's exactly it. Yeah.
Eugene, and almost a, almost a guilt that goes along with it.
Yes. Sure.
It's like if you don't already understand this verse and what God is, how are you still asking that question?
Right.
So as we're doing these, as I read these questions, there's so much pain in these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so God knows that it's not something as surfacey as this one verse. So much more of it is knowing the heart of God for our pain.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's right.
So what were you going to say, Erin?
I was just going to say, I was reading Hebrews yesterday, and it's so amazing as you talk about the power of God that's in there and the answers. I've read this before, but reading it yesterday, it struck me in a whole new way.
Yeah.
But how we have the God who created everything. His son was sent to live like us, and he had pain and hurt and struggle. And so he is empathetic towards us because he knows it. So it's not just go read that verse because it sounds really nice on that wall hanging and it looks pretty in my living room. It's because Jesus walked on this earth with us, and he walked it out, so he empathizes with us.
That's right.
And so it doesn't mean all your answers are going to be easy.
Right.
We don't get all those.
Right.
But it's not that we are left alone.
Right.
I love that the author of Hebrews said Jesus was prepared for the cross. He was perfected for the cross through pain and suffering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so God even used pain and suffering with his own son, incarnate Messiah. It wasn't all life.
Those are some of my favorite verses, Hebrews 5:8-9, because it says that he gained the equipment, the Amplified says, that he needed to be the author
of our
salvation.
Yeah.
Right.
And
That takes
the experience, and the equipment.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, when I look back, most of my pain was just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was just learning how to apply the word and not let my emotions control me and not live out of my own mind. And I think, before we start answering these questions, I want to say, I think it's fine to ask questions, but you're not going to get the answer to every question that you ask.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think what God wants to hear is, I'd love to know why, but even if you don't tell me, I trust you.
Right, yeah.
Because that's
the end of Job.
That's the most important thing is, I trust you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Even if I never know why.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want your presence more than I want an answer.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That leads us right to the first question that we've really already begun answering, and probably is the one that most people are thinking about right away. It's, why do we suffer so much?
Mm-hmm.
So those things that we're talking about are great foundations for me, because it's very, maybe ironic's not the word, but even right before we started doing this, I got some really bad news about someone that I love who's suffering very much, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so it's just the way God works so much. He prepares our hearts, surround us with people that we need when we have those why questions. Because I've told you this before, I can be a why person. If I don't really watch myself, I can be a why God, and I can be angry. And so instead, leaning on the fact that you just said that Jesus felt that pain that I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. He lost people that he loved. He did things he didn't want to do on the surface, but he did it to please God. So I'm going to throw this out there. We've already begun talking about it, but how do you respond to the question about suffering?
One of the reasons why we suffer so much, and I hope people can grasp this because I went through it, is we fight the suffering rather than embracing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like fun, though.
It doesn't.
Well, but it does make it easier. Because if you trust God, you believe that he's doing something good with it.
That's right.
That's why it says to count it all joy. It doesn't say it feels joyful.
Right.
But you consider that it's going to work something good in you. And so the more you fight something, it's like a person drowning.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The more they fight you, the less likely they are. Mm-hmm. To be saved. That's and right. So if they can relax, you can maybe get them to shore.
Right.
And we all start fighting our suffering. But when you can learn to just embrace it and believe that God is going to do something good out of it, it actually really makes it so much easier.
It goes back to what you said at the top of the podcast, Miss Joyce, when you said really underneath all of our striving is unbelief. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also underneath that is the lack of understanding or belief that God is good.
Right.
That ultimately he's a good God. So, of course, there's all different kinds of suffering. We see suffering going on globally that is the result of really wrong decision.
Right.
And then you see suffering, what you're going through today is just life is hard. Jesus says in this world, you will have trouble. There's hardship. There's death here. Death wasn't in the original plan. And so suffering can be the result of sin. It can be the result of the fall. But if you believe our God is good, and ultimately, somehow, some way, he will work this out for our good, you also believe what he said in Joseph's life, what man intended for evil, God will redeem that and use for good. Then you go, okay, I might not be happy about this. I'm not signing up for suffering 102 after suffering 101, but I do believe my God is good. So even if I can't see around the corner of my circumstances, you know, I was telling y'all earlier, I got really sick during COVID, and it looked like I might meet Jesus faster than I thought I was going to meet Jesus. And there's kind of this reckoning moment in my I start to say hotel, that's Freudian, my hospital room, completely alone with me thinking, I'm a single mom. I've got an 11-year-old who lost her first mama biologically before I got to adopt her. And I felt this great peace for 45 seconds. And I thought, oh, this is what peace with God feels like, absent from the body, present with Jesus. And then I started going, oh, no, Lord, this is too soon. Missy lost her first mama. You know, my husband has lost, won't stop to ask for directions. Oh, this isn't going to go well. This is. And in my hospital room, I sensed God through his spirit go, Lisa, do you believe I'm a good God? And I had to go, yes, sir. It's just I'd forgotten. I wanted to control my life. And I forget, God doesn't work in time and space as we know it. He extends beyond that. Yeah. He will work.
What you did was make a decision, aside from what you were feeling and all of the emotions that you were dealing with based on your experience.
Right.
And that's what's really helped me as I've had more experience with God and a lot of hurts and a lot of suffering to see, yes, down the road, I can trust what he says he will do. It doesn't mean I won't hurt really bad along the way, but he won't leave me in that place. That's helped a lot.
I was recently really struck by the fact that Jesus in the garden prayed three times for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Three separate times he went and said, Father, if possible, remove this cup from me. So he really did not want to go to the cross. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know, for some reason it just it struck me. I mean, he really, really did not want to go to the cross. It's like us when we really don't want to go through something. Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, if possible, deliver me from this. Yeah. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine.
Right.
And I think, I want to be sure I say this right. I think even more than not wanting to suffer, we have to want God's will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's hard.
That's right.
That's so hard.
That's right.
More than we don't want to suffer, We have to want God's will because we trust that if he does allow us to go through a time of suffering, right. that doesn't mean God brought it.
Right. That's right. an important
but
thing.
But I believe that God uses things. I think even I can get myself in trouble to making a bad decision, and God may not get me out of it right away like I'd like him to, mm-hmm. but he decides to use it mm-hmm. to teach me something mm-hmm. that I need to know.
Yeah.
And so if we can want God's will right. more
yeah.
than we even right. don't want to suffer.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I keep feeling impressed to say again that it's so much easier when you embrace it.
Yeah. It is. Well, I love that you brought up Gethsemane because you think Christ himself, the Messiah, was able to be heard to say, I don't want this. I don't want to see your back. I don't mm-hmm. want to feel communion between me and you cut off. I don't want this. But I think oftentimes in Christian culture, we're like, okay, you're a new creature. Mm-hmm. Don't whine anymore. And yeah. it's like, yeah. no, God will hear you. And I think that's one of the things when somebody's suffering is to say, take all that to Jesus.
Yeah.
Take all that to the Lord and go, I feel like this is about to kill me. And what we're really grieving is to be completely alone and to feel like nobody cares and nobody's going to help. Yeah. You go to the Lord and go, oh, the Lord heard me. You know, Job didn't get a single question answered.
Yeah.
But after God revealed himself to him in the form of spanking, basically.
Yeah, right. That's yeah. my favorite part of Scripture.
I mean, I love it. And he says, he does, but with such kindness
yes.
that he says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you and nothing is fixed.
Yeah.
Right. He's not reconciled with his wife. He doesn't have his business back. He doesn't have more children. He's basically still in the middle of the yeah. mess he started with. But he says, oh, now that I've been in your presence, mm-hmm. it's enough. And I think if in suffering we would learn to lean into God in that, you know, I'm 58. 60's right around the corner, which means I have the right to wear stretchy pants. but one of the things I like about being a little older is I can look back over my life and realize I've never been abandoned by God. Right, he's exactly. been present.
That's right.
I might
That's
not have
right.
felt him, but he's been so kind and so redemptive that it's easier for me to trust the future now because I go, oh, he has never failed me.
Experience.
And I think that's part of leaning into it is to go, boy, every other season that I grieved or I was heartbroken, he was so near to me. And I could have never, I couldn't have dreamt the redemption God has yeah. has worked in my life. So I do think leaning into the process, as Ms. Joyce is saying, is not to say happy clappy, I love this.
Right.
You can grieve and say, I don't want to do this, just like Jesus did.
Yeah.
But I still trust you.
You know, when I got this bad news today,
yeah.
And just tears streaming down my face, and my friends were praying for me. So I appreciate that so much. Just so important for us to have. And
yeah.
Lisa, you said something that really struck me, and it's not something that I was thinking about or grappling with at the time, but it was like, wow, yes. And you said that our pain is not punitive,
yeah.
that it's not, like you said, Joyce, God isn't throwing pain at us,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that it's not always, I mean, there are things that we do in our life that cause our own
it's
pain.
It's a consequence, but yeah.
Right, consequentially, absolutely. But just because we have pain in our life, it does not mean that God is making us mm-hmm. suffer. That's very mm-hmm. different.
Pain and suffering comes for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. And that's why it's almost foolish to try to figure out.
That's right.
Where yeah. it came from.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Right. Oftentimes in Scripture, it's a promotion. You yeah. know, if you look at Job's story, basically God was saying,
yeah.
I vote Job for this because he will walk this
thanks
out in a way
a lot,
that
God.
But he will walk this out in a way that gives me glory. It's
yeah,
promotion.
That's
David
true.
Says in Psalm 119,
it's
in
a bigger
his
picture.
Faithfulness, he has afflicted me. God wasn't yeah. doing this from a capricious, punitive place. He knew my faith was strong enough to walk this out in a way. And you know, I don't know, Joyce, you and I, well, I guess the three of us are the oldest here. Well, y'all both still have tight skin and high metabolism, so I look like the oldest, but
stop.
But you know how when you have somebody young who hasn't been through any hardship, and they're, when I have some 22-year-old come up to me and go, oh, Miss Lisa, when you stop worrying about being married, I mean, I really struggle. But when I got married at 19, and I'm like, I want to kick her in the shins. I'm like, you have not lived enough life.
Yeah, right.
But you have somebody who's been through hardship.
Right.
Who says, God has been good to me. God has been faithful. That kind of testimony has credibility because you go, boy, they have leaned into God in the dark, stormy times in their life. And I think that's where you go, wow, it's not that you get close to God and you never have hardship again.
No.
It's that you get close to God and you grow up and you go, he won't leave me. And
it's one thing to say God is faithful when you haven't had any experiences to go through yet. Then it's just a scripture you picked up somewhere or something you heard somebody say. But I know that I would not be where I'm at today in ministry had I not been through the things that I went through. Because now I do have experience. And I have equipment, and I know what it feels like to suffer.
Yeah.
But I do also know what's on the other side of it.
Mm. Yep. The thing about these big questions is we could talk about any one of these for the entire podcast.
It's hard to say we better have more than one here.
Yeah. So some of them will answer more quickly and move on. Here's one from Daisy Kipkin. So I'm going to stop reading these names because it's just
I like Daisy, though. That's such a happy name.
Daisy is a great name.
That's a great name.
Is it okay to marry my non-Christian boyfriend?
I would say no.
I would say
very clearly no. And part of it is,
I agree with
I think God's word's real clear on that, on not being an equally yoke. But it's not because God is punitive. It's because he wants what's best for us. Yeah. And years ago, I was probably 13 or 14, just starting to go with boys. And my dad was Southern to the bone. And I came home with some cute little country boy I was dating. And my dad said, Lisa, he was a man of few words, but they mattered. He said, I want you to come outside. He was like a miniature John Wayne. I was like, yes, sir. And he said, I want you to climb up on that picnic table. And I thought, this is the oddest thing. And I was like, yes, sir. And he said, now give me your hands. I was like, yes, sir. And I held out my hands, and he grabbed my hands, and he just pulled me just a little bit, and I fell off the picnic table. And he said, don't ever think that you can pull people up to your level.
Yeah.
This young man wasn't a believer. And he said, they will always pull you down to theirs. And then he just walked in the house, and I was like, huh.
And you laid there on the ground under the picnic table.
He caught me. I didn't get hit. But you know, that has formed. And it's not that you're better as a believer than someone who doesn't know Christ. I don't mean to put that in a hierarchical standpoint, it's that they will pull you away from Jesus. You know, he says he comes with a sword. He comes with a sword not because he's an angry God, but to cut away anything that threatens our relationship with him. And you will not be able to walk toward Jesus with somebody who doesn't trust him. So I'd say absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, there are many, many cases where somebody has married an unbeliever and that person has come to Christ as a result of that. So we can't sit here and say that it never, ever, ever works. But if we're talking about just the Bible and wisdom, it's much better to follow what the Bible says.
I will say, too, based on what Mike and I walked through the past couple of years, so many times I would say if we didn't both know the Lord, this conversation would be extremely different right now.
Right.
And even just the other night, we got frustrated and I could feel it escalating. And so I backed off and I prayed. I said, you'd have been so proud of me, Joyce. And it changed the conversation. And so I said to him later, isn't that amazing what the Holy Spirit did?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation that brought us together. But so many times I've thought, if we didn't both know the Lord, this would not be working the way it is right now.
It's always best to follow Scripture, even
that's
as far as getting into business with somebody that's
not a believer.
Excellent point.
You're not going to have the same morals. Right. You're not going to have the same principles.
But, you know, back to the question, if Daisy really loves this fella, then I wouldn't say kick him to the curb. I'd say, here's what the Bible says. Here's what Miss Joyce said. And so I really love you. If it's meant to be, time and truth walk hand in hand, will you please start meeting with these gentlemen in our church who are really good guys, and they'll meet you at Starbucks or at Denny's for pie and walk with you? Because I would love to be your wife if you love Jesus. He's my first love.
Right.
I'd love for you to be my second and maybe take him to church just like
that's
Dave
a great
did with Joyce.
Practical step to take.
I think that's really a good point too. But also I think it's important to say also if you know flat out that this guy doesn't love God and doesn't want you, like I could think of many things that I would think that after I got married that my ex would change or something, you know, like, oh, I can help him get to this point, you know, like, but if you know that this person doesn't want what you want, then you have to be courageous enough to know that it's not the one. Yeah. You know, don't try to make something happen.
You're right. Taking a big chance when you marry somebody thinking you're going to change them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Lisa's saying don't marry him until right. some things change,
absolutely.
Right?
Well, I think that's what is best we understand the analogy of Scripture, the full of Scripture. Best. I believe that's what it teaches, even if you look back to Israelite covenants.
Right.
I think that's what the whole of Scripture teaches, but be a lover of Christ in that. Be yeah. kind to him.
Yeah.
Love him well, even if she has to break up with him. Love him yeah. well. So he goes, you know, I dated this Christian girl once.
Yeah.
And even in breaking up with me, she was so kind and so respectful.